Hi, everybody. During the months of March and April, we are highlighting the work of Rios to Rivers in our community effort to showcase organizations who are working towards social justice, environmental action, and more inclusive public lands.
Rios to Rivers inspires the protection of rivers worldwide by investing in underserved and indigenous youth who are intimately connected to their local waters and support them in their development as the next generation of environmental stewards.
Founded in 2012, Rios to Rivers programs have connected 234 underserved and indigenous students from 20 endangered river basins in 7 countries. The programs have included students and community leaders from 21 indigenous nations.
Rios to Rivers envisions a world in which youth who are intimately connected to their local waters and tribal communities are equipped to become the next generation of passionate leaders for healthy rivers and communities.
Make monthly charitable giving a trend in your life in 2024 and help to support Rios to Rivers this March and April. Visit the link in our Instagram bio for more information.
Welcome to the Season 1 Summit. Here at Gaze at the National Parks, this is part 4, all about the hiking trails across the parks that we visited in Season 1.
That's right. We covered a lot of ground in Season 1 with our 10 parks.
Literally,
a lot of ground. Those parks, again, for all y'all that might be joining us for the first time, were Yosemite, Bryce Canyon, Great Smoky Mountains, Zion, Congaree, Arches, Canyonlands, Rocky Mountain, Cuyahoga Valley, and Acadia National Park.
And today is the day where we put all of them together in the same pot and we talk about all the trails across the board.
That's right. It's like the RuPaul's Drag Race of hiking trails.
It's like the All-Stars.
That's right.
RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars.
That's right.
Of hiking trails.
It is.
So if you listen to our long format episodes, you will hear that we take 1, 2, sometimes 3 trails per episode in one park.
Or in the case of Zion,
or in the
more
case
trails.
Of five, we did
just
five in a day.
Just depends on what our day is like.
Depends on how it makes the most sense to organize it inside of an episode. But today is the day where we get to just talk about them across the board.
Right, and
ten of these parks.
We thought it would be a really nice way, because this is technically our final episode for Season 1 of our podcast.
It is. And we
so we've reached the end.
And we literally are a podcast about hiking trails.
Right. We've made it back to the car, Dusty.
We've made it back to the car. It's the very end of
the
day.
It's been 50 long weeks of hiking out
it
here
has.
In podcast land.
I know. We've lost 3 pounds collectively.
That's right. Just 3,
so,
though.
Just 3.
There was a lot of fluctuation.
Yes. Let's look at each park at a time.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So let's start with Yosemite. What are your general feelings about the trails of Yosemite?
I thought the trails were really well marked, incredibly maintained, crowded. There were a lot of people.
There are a ton of trails in Yosemite. We were only able to do certain trails because some of them were closed due to snow.
Right. It was still kind of early in the season. We were there in early April, I believe. It was a little tough, but we still were able to hit like a lot of the major trails. This was my second trip to the park.
Yes.
So the first time I was there, I was also there at a similar time of year too. But again, it was still very crowded. Yosemite is one of the crown jewels of the park system.
Absolutely.
So,
The majority of the trails in Yosemite go straight up.
Yeah.
And straight back down.
Well, you're in the valley or like at the bottom of the canyon.
You're either in, you're either there or you're either at the top.
Yeah.
Which if you make it all the way to the top on one of the trails, then you can like hike the rim of Yosemite Valley. But we couldn't do that because the connecting trails were closed.
No.
So if we went up, we had to come right back down.
Yeah. There was like, remember we like looked at 4 Mile when we were on the way in.
We did.
And they said there's snow towards the top. So it's probably not the best idea.
Yeah. I want to go back in the summer and do the rim around.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I always do.
Yeah, so. I know. You don't want to free solo El Capitan like Alex and Noel?
Absolutely not.
So what about Bryce Canyon?
I loved hiking in Bryce Canyon because Bryce Canyon is like, you're really high up, but the hikes are all inside that canyon.
Well, except for when we did go up to Bryce Point.
Well, but you have to hike from the inside
and go up to
the top of Bryce Point, which is on the edge. But
we
came from the inside, right? And all of the trails are inside. And it's one of those, like, you turn a corner and things are different every single time. It's just, like, so beautiful, so spectacular. That was one of those, if you like trails, like, as soon as we walked up, and I love trails, we walked up and I was like, oh, my God, I want to do this now. you know?
Yeah, I agree. I think it was pretty amazing. It's definitely one that sticks out in my mind as far as like a park that has incredible trails. And I wouldn't say that there's a ton of them, but they're long. And you can do, you can see a lot. You can
you
cover a lot of ground.
So many stuff.
Yeah,
so much stuff.
So many stuff. Definitely Bryce Canyon for a lot of wins there.
Great Smoky Mountain National Park.
Great Smoky Mountain is, it's a forest wonderland. It's really hard to compare a lot of East Coast parks to West Coast parks because the West Coast is just like a weird wild land of landscape that shouldn't exist or like should only exist in like sci-fi movies.
An alien planet. Right?
And when you think about like a lot of our East Coast parks, it's like a walk in the woods a lot of the times, or it can feel like that. But Great Smoky just felt
there's something so,
so
special and majestic.
Large
about it.
And the trees just felt gigantic. You're just in such a large swath of land. Like when we were there in the summer, I just remember it being like, well, it was very crowded too, but I just remember it feeling so special and so
right.
So unique.
To get to trails, I'm going to backtrack for 1 second. In Yosemite, to get to trails, you got to pull in, park, get on a tram, ride it to different stops where you get to go to different trails. Bryce is like, you can park on like either the south end or the north end, and then you like go inside the canyon and hike around. Great Smokies is so giant that you just like park in different locations in the park to do like one specific trail. Mm-hmm. I love the trails in Great Smoky Mountains National Park because it is, you are so entrenched. You're literally like inside the beauty the whole time.
Yeah. Even that day we kind of had our plans change on us in the fall.
It was still beautiful.
Still beautiful. So yeah. What about Zion?
I mean, come on, Zion is like, I mean, if Yosemite's the king, then Zion's the queen. I mean, she is.
Yes.
As far as like how to get to trails in Zion, you park your car, hopefully early at the visitor center when there's spots at 7 a.m. because that's when the trams start. And you get on the trams and go to different points. You can take a tram and look and enjoy. And you can also get out and hike like a ton. And so all of the trails in Zion, they're not really connected trails. There's not a lot of interconnection across the park. It is just like you make a stop at one and you do like this beautiful hike and come back and you do another one from another point.
We did walk a little bit though. There were some spots on the tram that you could stop and like hike at a point of interest, and then you could walk along the road. I think that grotto trail connected us back.
There were a couple at the top that were connected, but we never did those. It's a lot of like hiking up the side of a canyon, coming back down. But the incline in Zion felt a little more gradual than Yosemite.
Yeah.
Yosemite felt steep.
Extreme.
And extreme every moment of the time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Arches.
You forgot our friend Congaree.
Oh, did I?
Yeah.
I usually do. Let's talk about, I guess, all right, let's talk about our friend Congaree as I get a cigarette and I look it up. Let's talk about our friend Congaree.
So Congaree, I think, is a park that is probably best explored through its waterways. The Congaree River winds through. There's a lot of like extension branches that come off of that. I think kayaking is a really big thing. That's not what we did when we were there. We did hike for the most part.
Okay, there are two kinds of trails in Congaree. There is like
Dusty's like, I'm just going to pull the band-aid off.
There's a boardwalk trail and then there's a nature trail. Mm-hmm. Boardwalk trail, totally worth it. Nature trail, I don't think so.
I guess it just depends.
I mean,
I think when we talk about
all of
East Coast parks, like I said before,
but
it's like a walk in the woods.
All of the things you go to Congaree to see, all of those very special trees, you see all of them from the boardwalk trail. There's nothing like deep into the vastness of Congaree that you see by doing the nature trail. It's just sort of like, you know, a way to immerse yourself more if you wanted to. Mm. And if that's what you're going for, then Congaree's got you covered.
Yeah. What about Arches?
Okay, now we're back to Arches.
Yeah.
Arches has like one really beautiful, fun, like playground hike. And then there's like another landmark hike. And that's really about it. Like you have Devil's Garden. And that is so much fun, adult jungle gym times. And then you have the hike out to Delicate Arch, which is...
Oh, you also have Park Avenue, too.
You do have Park Avenue. That is like... like walking through the desert from one spot to another.
Right. Yeah.
You know, with mesas.
Yeah.
You know, you're on top of a mesa. I consider the Park Avenue less of a hike.
Right.
Because I guess you're not like gaining any incline, but that's still a hike.
Yeah.
But yeah, Park Avenue is a great thing. You see a lot of stuff and you don't have, and you can do it without the incline.
Yeah.
What about Canyonlands?
Canyonlands is vast. We were really not sure what we were going to do with Canyonlands. Our host really, we wanted to do the Needles section. But our host was like, no. Well, at our Airbnb, our host, she's like, listen, the Needles is for when you come back to Canyonlands. Go to Islands in the Sky. Islands in the Sky is accessible. It's literally off the road, like right out of Moab. Needles, you have to like drive as you're leaving like the Moab area. You'll see it. And we passed it. And then you have to drive in like something like, I want to say she said something like 100 miles. It was some crazy amount before you're even into the park where you can hike. So it's a destination where it's probably going to involve camping. So Canyonlands is just vast. I think it's one of the parks that I can honestly say we've been to where I felt very small. I mean, a lot of the parks feel that way, but because it just is like this vast expanse of space and you can see very, very far, it just felt like we were in the midst of a lot.
There was, I mean, there was that one trail that we did in Canyonlands, and I really liked that one trail.
Syncline Loop?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I liked that trail a lot. It was...
it's like, you know, around a giant crater, basically.
Around a giant crater. It was fun. Canyonlands itself is not like a park you go to specifically for hiking trails. It's more of a park you go to just to take photographs and see this beautiful stuff.
I don't know about that. I would argue against that. I think there's
really?
I think there's other things to do. I just think it's a lot of backcountry stuff, and I think it's Islands in the Sky. There were probably there were more things that we just didn't have the time to get to that day.
And I think there are more hiking trails than Needles.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
than there are in Islands.
Yeah,
in the
and
Sky.
I feel like that's a little bit more. Well, there is more of a backcountry than that section, but
it
yeah.
is a weird park, and I love it for its weirdness.
Yeah, it is strange.
What about Rocky Mountain National Park?
Rocky Mountain is also another vast park with two very different sections, and that may feel less so when it's not half winter on one side and not really wintry on the other side. We visited Grand Lake, and we also visited the Estes Park section of the park, and we had two very different experiences. Grand Lake was very quiet, and Estes Park was very crowded. Not great signage in
There's
the park.
No signage.
No bathrooms.
Anywhere. And there are no bathrooms anywhere except the visitor center.
So that is definitely a little bit of a park that we gripe about because of
a little
those
bit.
Things.
I mean, we did go all the way up to the top of that one, you know, hike.
Deer Mountain, hoping
to, you know,
hit the summit.
Get the summit and then come back down. And then we never found the summit because we lost all the trail marks.
Yeah, which were footprints in the snow.
You were furious.
But we met some great people.
Oh, yeah.
So that made up for it.
Exactly.
That's right.
So we all went back together.
Cuyahoga Valley.
Oh, God, I love Cuyahoga Valley. Just all of the green in Cuyahoga Valley. It is the greenest place I've ever seen ever. And the trails were mostly flat.
They were.
They were mostly flat.
We did have some gain on
there was some
parts
gain.
Of the
Buckeye Trail.
Buckeye Trail.
The gain was not so bad for me.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it was like kind of a walk in the park compared to some other things we've done.
Yeah.
But yeah, I loved all of the trails there. They are long.
Yeah.
And you can do as much of it or as little of it as you want.
I think it's also, there's a lot of cool history in that park. That's what I found, like, where, not that it's not the case in other parks that we've been to, but you really could see the remnants of the canal system and like a past like mill and an electrical company. And these were, and even the paper mill that we passed by that was like really not there anymore. So they had a lot of like interesting history because the park was really like embedded in civilization, or civilization was embedded in the park, however you want to look at that. But yeah, I thought that was really neat. And then what about, last but definitely not least, Acadia?
The choose your own adventure, like Wonderland of all the national parks.
She's like the fun aunt. If Zion's the queen and Yosemite's the king, yes, she's the fun aunt.
She's the fun aunt.
Yeah,
she is.
She paints.
Yeah, she has. There's so many trails that just the intersections are insane.
Yeah,
but I always felt like I knew exactly where we were going, mm-hmm, because one, the signage was always good,
yep,
and two, the map that we had was very impeccable. Clear, very impeccable map. And God, those trails are so fun. Just go and get on those trails and wear your tick spray because there are ticks everywhere.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So let's do some superlatives. Since we've hiked...
Oh my God, yes.
We've hiked a lot in these 10 parks and hiked a lot, you know, in general. I think we should kind of give some superlative titles to some of our favorite things. So what was your favorite hike out of those 10 parks? What hike like really spoke to your soul?
Peekaboo Trail in Bryce Canyon.
Peekaboo Trail in Bryce Canyon.
God, I love that one. That one is like, if I need to like return to nature and get out of the clouds, I will go back to that trail. Mm-hmm. What about you?
It's really... I mean, it's a hard one to beat. I mean, and this is out of like all the parks we've done, but Devil's Garden is like so high up there for me. Mm-hmm. It is like Dusty said, it is adult jungle gym playground, like giant rounded, like smoothed out rocks. You see like something like 7 or 8 arches or landmarks along the way. Like it's really cool. And for a park where there really isn't a lot of hiking, it is kind of like the thing you definitely should do if you're able to hike, like do Devil's Garden, because it's a lot of fun. It's a blast.
So much fun. What hike packed the most surprise for you?
Oh, surprise is a loaded term.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm going to say probably Yosemite Falls, because
really? Why?
Surprise in that, like, it was like, oh, damn, this was actually really, really difficult. And also, we were supposed to actually hike Vernal in Nevada. We had that whole, like,
We did. You were reading the map wrong, and yes, I was reading it correctly.
Thank you and for I was scoring like, on me in this I was, podcast
episode. Oh, I will happily toss you right underneath the bus's wheels here.
Mm-hmm,
so
the tram's wheels.
We had talked to the park ranger, and we were like, we'll do Vernal in Nevada Falls today and the Yosemite Falls tomorrow. And so we get on the tram and you're like, we're going to the stop. And I was like, but that's Yosemite Falls. And you were like, no, it's not. It's Vernal. And like, we kind of got into like a little catty argument. Mm-hmm. And I was like, no, I really think it's this. And you were like, no, it's not. And I was like, okay, Brenda, I will give you some space. And then we got off at Yosemite Falls and you were like, oh, this is the hard one. And I went, literally what I said.
I think it was a surprise because of how difficult it was. Because I don't think we've ever really faced anything that was as difficult as that.
I agree.
And so that was why it was a surprise to me.
Yeah. My answer is Mount Kammerer.
Oh,
because
yeah,
the view at Mount Kammerer, especially over the Smoky Mountains in the fall, it is a view I will never forget my entire life.
Yeah.
And I did not know we were going to get that.
Yeah, that was pretty spectacular.
I knew we were going to see like that lookout house.
Which was also like...
Also kind of a surprise. Yeah. And also kind of amazing and beautiful. Yeah. And you could like feel the ghost history in mm-hmm. there. But like seeing that from there was, I mean, the most breathtaking.
What do you feel like was the easiest hike we did?
The easiest hike?
Yeah.
The easiest hike we did, as far as like physical stress, I'm going to say Congaree. It was not emotionally easy because of all of the spiders.
Are you talking about the boardwalk trail?
Yeah, that's what talking about. And then the nature trail, I mean, it's like flat ground, but because trees had fallen down, you had to go around them and then you had to walk right through spider webs. That is only in the summer though. And I did find out later that one type of spider that is there in the summer is totally innocuous. And then there are two other ones that are like super deadly poisonous and we were definitely around them.
Great.
So there's that.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about you? Easiest time?
I think Mirror Lake was pretty easy.
Oh yeah.
A lot of it's paved and it's kind of flat.
Yeah.
That was like a nice, we did that
That's
after
Yosemite.
we did Yosemite Falls. That was like, oh, let's finish up with something easy.
No.
After right.
Vernal Falls.
That was right.
And Nevada Falls.
Nevada.
We did.
Yeah.
Because they were on the same tram stop, essentially. What about a hike that gave us animal friends?
Oh, I'm going to say when we were hiking on the...
Cub Lake?
No. I mean, that was pretty great. That was spectacular. But when we were on the Valley Trail in Cuyahoga and that little baby deer that was literally two feet from us and like came up to us. And that was like a pretty special moment. Oh. Are you going to say Cub Lake?
I was going to say the Cuyahoga Valley one.
Look at us being friends and knowing each other's
answers. But we got elk and moose on that Cub Lake Trail.
Yeah.
So,
which was great.
It was great.
What about hikes with the biggest payoff for you?
Hikes with the biggest payoff? Mm-hmm.
That can mean a lot of things. For me, that means like a view or a landmark that you were seeing.
It's not Angel's Landing for me, even though I know it is for you. I was just terrified out of my mind at the top of Angel's Landing because I was traumatized from the chains. The hike with, I thought that had the most, I didn't know it was going to have a payoff. Was the Vernal and Nevada Falls. The view from up there in Yosemite was just unmatched. Like, I liked it more than the view from Yosemite Falls.
Me too.
So I loved that.
Yeah.
Mount Kammerer, still one of the best payoffs ever.
Yeah, it's definitely Angel's Landing for me because I think I was just running on adrenaline and like blindfolded to the fact that we were so high up and it was just such an incredible journey that it's hard to not like point to Angel's Landing as like something that is both really incredibly, I guess I would say, strenuous to do, but also with
terribly strenuous.
An incredible payoff.
What about hike that was the most fun?
Oh, well, that's like,
I think that's Devil's Garden for you.
But I think that's like, that can be like, oh, what were we talking about? Like, you know.
No,
like,
I know.
Roomy, but like, you're the most fun.
No, you're the most fun. No, like physically, like, you know, your body enjoyed it the most.
It's probably Devil's Garden. Like, it just was like such an amazing experience. And it just felt like, oh, you have to jump to this. Oh, you have to like, you know, we saw that mule deer too. That was real cool. Yeah, lots of things about...
You know, I'm going to say Hidden Canyon Trail for this one.
I really liked Hidden Canyon a lot, too.
It was like, there were some chains, and there were also, like, it had, like, a nice smattering of just, like, a lot of different kinds of terrain.
Yeah.
Like, when it came to Zion, it was, like, a great introduction.
And then you could go into the canyon, like, that, like, little baby canyon in the wall of the canyon. Canyonception.
A very little baby canyon.
But, like, you had to do some climbing and maneuvering in there.
Yeah, you did.
That was fun. Yeah.
I loved it. It was so fun. That's why it's my pick for most fun.
What was your most strenuous hike?
Oh, well, Yosemite Falls, undoubtedly.
I mean,
there's no other than Yosemite Falls, if I'm removing it, if it's now Oprah and I'm removing it from Emmy consideration, I'm going to say...
For me, it was definitely Yosemite Falls, but I think when we snowshoed, and I say that only because it was like, you're in calorie deficit until next week.
For like the rest of your life.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. That snowshoe hiking was emotionally strenuous too. It really was.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that was my answer. And now let's introduce our queen. Hey everybody, we are actively planning our hiking for this year, and so you know what that means. Our moon travel guides are out and about, we're marking them up, and we're writing in all of our notes. We sincerely love them, and we use moon travel guides all the time.
Moon is our favorite travel guidebook publisher because their authors are real people who live in and know the areas they're writing about like the back of their hand.
And we can trust them. From hikes to campsites to city sites to restaurants, Moon Travel has you covered.
So ready to cross something off your travel bucket list in 2024?
Have a lot of great ideas for trips but don't know how to get started or keep your itinerary organized?
Wherever your wanderings might take you or inspire you to go, Moon Travel has you covered.
Moon Travel is the travel guidebook publisher for ethical travel.
Don't spend months trying to craft the perfect getaway when you can do it all with Moon.
Whether you're headed out abroad, planning to take on the open road, or want to wander the trails of a national park, make sure to pack a Moon travel guide with you.
And through the end of 2024, our listeners can exclusively get 20% off any Moon travel guide when you go to moon.com. Use the code GAZE24 at checkout.
That's right. That is moon.com and use code GAZE24. And that's GAZE24 for 20% off any Moon travel guide in Moon's entire library at moon.com. And that is exclusively for GAZE listeners. Ladies, gentlemen, and everyone in between, please welcome to the stage.
Pedestria Walker. So,
God, I love her.
Who is Pedestria Walker, Dusty? She's one of your crossing guards.
Oh, I think she's the crossing guard queen.
I didn't realize there was a subcategory for crossing guard queens.
Yeah, she is actually legitimately a crossing guard, but she is a drag queen crossing guard.
Okay.
Yes. She performs on the street.
Okay.
Yeah, I think she's a street performer. So she performs on the street. She also makes sure that the kids get to school safely.
Mm-hmm.
So that's who I think she is. Pedestria Walker.
Pedestria Walker.
I think she's also like a cousin of Karen Walker from Will and Grace.
Okay.
Karen Walker herself, I feel like, is a drag persona. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like that is a drag queen, period. Yeah.
Does she wear a lot of reflective vests in her outfit?
Oh, you know it.
So is all like, of her outfits like reflective vests,
but make it fashion? You know what I mean?
It's like, it feels like
a Project Runway
experiment. It feels like a Project Runway experiment or challenge.
Yes.
Make it work, people.
Make it work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I think so. Yeah, I think she's got a stop sign, but I think it says, hold up, instead of stop.
Mm-hmm.
And then what is she saying? What is her lip sync song?
I feel like it's Stop in the Name of Love.
I feel
like you just like gave it to me.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah.
I like that. Exactly. Uh-huh.
I think so. For 100%.
So, ladies, gentlemen, and everyone in between, please welcome to the stage.
Pedestria Walker.
It's time for our final game of trivia for this episode. Are you ready?
I am ready.
And our final act of trivia for this season.
Oh.
So here we go. Get ready.
I am ready.
The time is on the clock and ready, set, go. These falls in Yosemite are named after the 36th state.
What is Nevada Falls?
This former HBO show could be set in Congaree National Park.
What is True Blood?
Incorrect. What is Boardwalk Empire?
Oh, got it.
This national park could be named after a preppy gay who went to a liberal arts college.
What is Acadia?
No. What is Bryce Canyon?
Got it.
Sounds like a preppy gay at a liberal arts college. This is the most literal title for national park in all of the national park system.
What is Canyonlands?
Incorrect. What is Arches?
Okay.
Yeah,
Canyonlands could work too.
Maybe, but Arches is way more literal.
Okay.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how underwhelmed were you by Mesa Arch and Canyonlands?
5.
10 being the most underwhelmed.
Oh, 5.
Okay, well, you Libra over there. I have to have both. I was more like an 8.
Okay.
I was like, wow, that's like 3 feet wide. Not really, but it felt that way. This visitor center could be confused with an American Revolution site.
What is the Boston Store Visitor Center?
Correct. Where?
In Cuyahoga Valley.
Yes, which is in Ohio. What two films were shot at the hotel in Estes Park near Rocky Mountain National Park?
What is Dumb and Dumber and what is The Shining?
Correct. And correct in that order of importance. how did Angel's Landing in Zion National Park get its name?
Because the first white citizens to explore the park believed that only angels could land on the top of the mountain.
Yes. What Queen Mother's theme park is near Great Smoky Mountains National Park?
What is Dollywood?
And have we been there?
No.
No, we haven't. I'm going to let that sit for a second. No, we have not. Okay. And finally, the last question. If you were Toni Collette's son in Hereditary, would you have taken your sister to the party?
No.
No, I wouldn't have either. I don't know why he did. And that has been the conclusion of season one, everybody. The season one summit is done. Stay tuned for season two. We will have a couple of surprises in store for you between now and the start of season two, but have no fear. Season two starts on Monday, September the 16th. This has been Season 1 Summit, Part 4, by Gays at the National Parks.
And we're here to remind you to hike early and hike often, and that adventure is always out there.
Follow us on Instagram at Gays at the National Parks, and email us at gaysatthenationalparks@gmail.com.
Gays at the National Parks was created and is hosted by Dustin Ballard and Michael Ryan.
All original music is written and performed by Dave Seaman with Mariella Klinger.
This episode was edited by Dustin Ballard.
All original artwork featured on Instagram is by Michael Ryan. Stay tuned for the beginning of season two, right here on Monday, September 16th.